Yeah, hi, this is Brett White from the Being Leaders podcast, and welcome to season two. You know, I'm really excited about this season where I've been having some incredible conversations with some amazing young and emerging leaders from around the world, in Cambodia, in London, in Melbourne, in Sydney, sharing their stories, their insights, their limits, their learnings, and their challenges of their leadership journey so far. So thanks for joining us, and I know you'll get great value from these emerging, young, and inspiring leaders from around the world. In this week's episode, I'm chatting with Matt Destry. Matt's a great friend of mine for many years. He's also a husband, a dad, a storyteller, an artist, and he's the co-senior minister with his wife, Jody, and a thriving community of faith in Melbourne. In this conversation, we're chatting about the importance of self-awareness, committing to taking responsibility as a young leader, building trust, and giving permission and opportunity to young leaders around us. It's a great conversation, and I know that you'll get a lot out of what Matt has to share today. So thanks for joining us. Well, welcome to the Being Leaders podcast, and it's great to have a good mate of mine, longtime friend, Matt Destry, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. So welcome, Matt.
Thanks so much for having me today, Brett. It's awesome to be here, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, I've sort of been watching your stories at sometimes from very close up, and then other times from further away, and I just feel like you have, you know, a lot to offer younger leaders. And, you know, I know that in some ways you probably see yourself still as an emerging leader. I think sometimes I see myself still, even at my age, as an emerging leader. Certainly don't have all the answers yet. But curious, just to sort of start us off, just to share a little bit of your kind of leadership story.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Well, my leadership journey begins probably in two specific ways. One, as I was coming through high school and realizing my passion and gift for music. And secondly, after leaving school and heading into a medical career, and seeing the way that those two things folded together. So I was part of a band, you know, as you finish school and you then become involved in that was my first experience of leadership, really. Yeah. How do we manage this small group with something that we want to do? We've got music that we want to take to the world, and the organization of that, and the leadership of that, and the dynamics of that, the projects that are involved in that. And then coming through into the wider world of the medical profession, and learning about how hospitals work and bureaucracies work, and how ward dynamics work for nurses and all of that kind of stuff. And so that was my first foray into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But not until really when I started to put those two things together, I guess a passion for the creative and a passion for people, that started to really merge together and converge in leading inside of church and faith-based organizations.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really where that started to land for me. And I was asked a question and said, well, what is it that you love doing? I said, well, I really love music and I love storytelling, but I also love, I love people. But what drove me further than nursing in terms of my love for people was realizing, wow, we can put somebody back together physically. We can put their leg or even their physical heart, you know, back together. But you can fix someone's body. But then what happens if their heart or their spirit is still broken?
Mm.
Who's speaking into some of the deeper stories of life and the deeper issues of life that go beyond our physical person? And that's what led me into this exploration of faith and faith leadership and faith communities like churches. And so we started leading in those kinds of spaces. And it wasn't until a guy called Brett White then gave me an opportunity to lead in that space. And I was asked to take the leadership of the music of our faith community, of our church, and then my journey of leadership inside of churches and faith communities started to really grow. And that's what took me on a big, that next journey is one that I guess that I'm still on now and has gone through ups and downs. Brett, you and I served together. I served and learned from you for a good number of years, you know, 8-9 years in that initial stage where I was really learning as a leader, a young leader, trying to pick up all that I could and glean all that I could, which then led us to go and begin an experiment with a faith community of our own in the urban fringe of Sydney, which took us, which was an amazing journey, but ended for me in a place where I was bankrupt in most ways, emotionally, spiritually, financially, on the edge of, on the edge of burnout, which then led us to move into state and to almost begin again. And starting again, you know, where I was landscaping, working as a laborer for a landscaper, and then and volunteering as in my local church again, and then following that through to now leading that community with my wife Jody.
Yeah, great.
5-6 years on, and well, now we've been in Melbourne nearly 10 years.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
And so and part of Discovery Church, which is where we are now. So
it's been a very kind of up and down.
It has,
you know, and I reflect back on my own leadership story, and definitely, even though those, you know, those downs, you know, those times where, you know, you are feeling burnt out are very challenging, they're also really important to our development, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure, 100%. The things that you learn in the times of weakness and inability, I think, are more than you learn in times when you're, you know, on the top of your game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, speaking to emerging leaders, I think people generally try to avoid those times.
yeah, you know, absolutely.
We don't want those downs, those challenges, those times where we feel broken and... and loss. But in when we look back, we go, you know, it's actually those times that developed me and helped me become who I am and how I lead today. And so as much as we want to avoid them, I'm just curious, what would you say to a young leader about that, about those times?
Yep. I would say, obviously, firstly, that it's a normal experience to get to a point in your own leadership where you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you don't know what move to make next, you don't feel like you've got it within you to rise to that next challenge. That's normal.
Yeah.
And it's countercultural to the kind of Instagram, social media, just show your highlights type culture that we're in. That's specific, I think particularly prevalent in leadership circles where we're trying to show the best side of ourselves all the time.
That's right.
The successful side, the capable side, the why you should hire me.
That's right.
Side.
Yeah.
Whereas being able to lean into those moments of discomfort, unknowing, and those moments of challenge, they create the stuff of what it is that you're going to bring to those people and the way that you're going to help those people. It forms your story to then be the thing that you do give away that does become the stuff of what it is that you can help someone else with. So the thing that we're trying to run from is actually the thing that's going to make our leadership most effective.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that never stops. Like, I think, you know, I'm 56 and even last year I went through a season of wrestling, of challenge, of transition. Again, you know, and you're kind of like, oh man, do I have to keep doing this for the rest of my life? You know, and again, I feel like out of that, there's been, you know, a reshaping and a re-kind of energizing of who I am and, you know, what I want to commit myself to next. But yeah, we tend to try and avoid it. We are trying to avoid pain at all costs. What are the things that are important, do you think, looking back, that a young leader should be doing or hold on to or look out for or commit to in those seasons of down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. I think self-awareness is really, really important.
Yeah.
So what are the things that are contributing to me feeling this way?
Yeah.
What are the elements at play here? And it's okay in that to say, I don't know, but at least to be able to ask that question. Because some of it might, it's going to be a combination of external forces and internal things. But commitments that leaders can make to themselves, I think, through that process is really important. Commitment to taking responsibility for our own actions and our own behavior. The blame game is huge. And especially for leaders, when as a leader, you have a lot of levers to pull. There are a lot of things you can do that may absolve you of personal responsibility. I think it's really important to be asking ourselves all the time, how did I contribute to this, this situation that we're in right now? So personal responsibility is a huge one. I think as well, just a commitment to continuing to find your uniqueness and your unique shape. Again, as a young leader, I found myself being constantly pulled from one way or the next to, maybe I should be more like that person. Yeah. Maybe I should be more like that person. Oh, they're doing that. Maybe that flavor should be I chase after. Whereas I think, again, one of the best gifts we can bring to the people we lead I don't think I'm there. And I'm not sure if you ever get there, you'd be able to tell us more about that one, Brett. But like, a commitment to wanting to do only what you can do as best as it possibly can over time would be another one, to find that shape.
I think that's interesting just on that, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, bringing your true authentic self, right? Which I think is the greatest gift that you can bring. But it seems like it's also the thing we're reluctant to bring as leaders.
Yeah, that's right, because there's so much fear involved in that. Absolutely. If I bring myself, if I bring who I really am in this moment, and that's rejected, or that's misunderstood, what does that mean for me? You know, that's a moment of where insecurity can really start to rise up. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you look back kind of as a young emerging leader and, you know, as you said, in many ways, you're still in that space of emerging as a leader. What's been, you know, the biggest challenges for you in that journey?
Yeah, some of the challenges have been really finding that shape, like we just said, and looking for mentors or role models who are going to be able to help me develop into who it is that I'm becoming, rather than try and push you into something else.
Yeah.
So that would be a big one, just finding those people, but also being willing to find those people. And I think over time, I've felt very grateful for the multitude of teachers, mentors, counselors who have been able to offer their own experience, their time, and their heart to help me grow as a leader. I think that's been absolutely, it's been an incredible experience in my own life that I'm really, really grateful for.
Yeah, it's one of the things that seems to come up a lot having these conversations with people. Right. Talking about, you know, what should emerging leaders be thinking about and doing? The mentoring thing just seems to come up all the time. As you need to get a mentor. You need to find someone who can walk with you and mentor you as a young leader.
For sure. And I think another thing I would say is say yes more often than you say no. Okay. Now, that's going to sound counterintuitive to the thing that I said before, like focus and just stay in your lane and do the thing that only you can do. The thing is, we don't know what we don't know. And like, there may be stuff out there. It is a process of elimination. where you're like, okay, not that, not that, not that, not that. And then finally you find the thing that, yes, oh, the big, oh my gosh, that's what,
that's the lane.
That's where I need to go. Whereas if we never look outside of our own bubble, never look outside of our own world, we don't know what's out there. And so being willing to go into that those environments and say yes more often than you say no, I think is great for emerging leaders. When we moved into into the city of Sydney, and we had a dream in our heart to plant or to begin this new faith community in there, that was one of my mantras, was just say yes.
Yeah, okay.
So any invitation, any opening, any, hey, do you want to come around to this? Any, you know, hey, you should come to our show or this opening or this. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that's how you make connections. It's how you meet new people. It's how you expose yourself to new ideas. And in that, I think it's very, very rich, especially for a young leader when you're still figuring it all out.
And I think even in the context of, you know, how we see life, I think, you know, I think probably particularly in some faith cultures, is that there's a sense where, you know, we say no before we even consider.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's Richard Rohr in one of his books, he talks about, you know, this the heart to come to conversations with a yes,
uh-huh,
and then work it out and wrestle with it and sort of, you know, come to your conclusion. And it might be no, but start at that yes.
Exactly.
As opposed
right.
to no.
Well, exactly right. Otherwise, you know, leading with a no, the conclusion's already done.
You've
already said, well, I know what this is. I think the other thing would be for an emerging leader is don't be afraid to serve. Like start at the bottom, you know, like start from the start. Like you can learn so much by taking an unpaid internship or serving or volunteering at an organization where you believe in the values of, for a couple of hours a week or half a day a week. You can learn so much from that, much more than if you kind of held out for the kind of the best job you could get at that given point in time. So coming out of that season where we were in Sydney and moving down to Melbourne, and like I said, we're kind of right on the verge of burnout. We're now part of an organization that was quite a big organization. So with a lot of property, over 1,000 people attending weekend like worship services. And I'd come out of this season of leading this community we were, and I just went back to serving on the video cameras. Just videoing the weekend services. And it was a job that I could do. It was a job that required very little emotional investment of me. But which is crazy to think now, 9 years on, my wife Jodie and I lead this organization. We lead this faith community. And so, I've seen it at every level.
It's great.
I haven't just seen it from the leadership level. I've seen it from the level of coming in early, sitting behind a camera or sitting on a coffee machine or sitting in the back room photocopying things.
Yeah.
And so I would say to emerging leaders, don't be afraid to get in at that really initial level, because that's where you see what's really going on.
Yeah.
You see what the issues are, how people think, and it can really help you later on.
And I think one of the things, like looking at that, say, 9-year journey for you, is what it does is actually builds trust with people.
That's really
people
powerful.
See your genuine heart for serving, for leading, for empowering, for being. And that builds trust. And I think, you know, probably one of the things that's gone in your favor because of that now, and you used to say you and Jodes are leading this, you know, quite big community, faith community, is that you built trust because people have seen you there, prepared to give at a volunteer level. And that, to me, it builds trust in a person. And as they continue to grow and develop as a leader, and say an emerging leader that wants to really, you know, progress and move forward, to have that trust built from day one, just by their mindset, their attitude, their heart to do whatever it takes, whether that's sweeping the floor or, you know, whatever, I think builds just, it's a real trust builder. And I think where you're in the people business as a leader, whether it's a faith community or an organization or even in the corporate world, as a leader, you are in the people industry. Leadership is relationship with people, and building trust is absolutely critical to that journey.
I so agree with that, Brett. And I don't remember who said it, but it's something that sticks with me. You might know who the quote is from, but they said, we move at the speed of trust.
Yeah,
right. Organizations move at the speed of trust.
Love that.
Which is so true, because how often do we see in leadership where a decision gets made or a vision gets set and you don't have that undergirding of trust that really holds everything together. Mm. And so then it all gets built around either the bottom line or this big vision. But as soon as it gets hard, or that those things get challenged, or it requires us to all as an organization dig a little deeper, we don't have that undergirding of trust there to see us through those harder moments. It's kind of like
that foundation, isn't it?
Exactly right. Yeah, right. Yeah, it is. I think, and definitely Patrick Lencioni says that.
Yes,
at the bottom of the pyramid, trust needs to be there.
Yeah.
And I think, I think that's absolutely crucial, bro.
So looking back again, what do you sort of see were maybe some of the things that limited you, limits that you put on yourself or that other people put on you that might have kind of hindered your development as a leader?
Yeah, probably lack of self-awareness would be the first thing, because you're going into every situation bringing who you are, bringing yourself, but sometimes unaware of how you're making other people feel. So I'd be able to move into an environment and just be unaware of the impact that I was having on a room, on a meeting, on a group. And so continuing to grow in those areas of self-awareness to not just who am I, but how do I make others feel in any given scenario? I think that could definitely be a limiting factor. Another one would probably be being unwilling to work on weaknesses or blind spots.
Yeah.
So one thing that came late in my life is more of an appreciation and an awareness of areas of governance and financial leadership in church life, in personal life, and all of that kind of thing. And I found that really become a key for me personally to unlock a whole lot of other areas in church life and leadership was just being able to do some study and some learning in those spaces. Now, whatever that's going to be different for every person. I mean, some people are just born with that.
Yeah.
And you might be born with a more of a strategic governance-based mind. But for a creative like me, it took me a little while to pick up that kind of thing. And I wish I'd picked it up maybe a little bit earlier than I did.
I would agree. I look back at mine, there's been many of those things where we need to invest in the development. I think working to our strengths is absolutely critical, but I think as you grow as a leader, it's being aware of those areas where you need help or you need advice or you need someone else's input or you need another person to actually contribute to what it is that you're doing and how you're leading. And I think that behavioral awareness thing is so important being aware, that self-awareness is really important, but taking that to the next level, as you said, where you're actually aware of how my behavior impacts and influences the people around me on my team, in the room I work with, that I work for, and working on how to create behavioral change that becomes more empowering and more positively impacting of those people is, mm-hmm. I think, an absolute critical kind of part of the leadership story.
Absolutely. It's a huge part of it, and I'm glad we're hearing more about it now. As I think we are coming into a bit of a new season in terms of leadership and what it means to be a leader. I'm really grateful and glad for that.
So you've worked for a bunch of different people over the years. What do you think in this kind of current culture that senior leaders need to do better when it comes to developing emerging leaders?
Great. Really good question. I'd probably say, what can senior leaders do to do better with developing emerging leaders? I'd probably say three things. One, creating space and creating those opportunities.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I think emerging leaders might look up into an organization and not see any gaps.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's because the organization is set to show no gaps. We don't want to show any. So if you're an emerging leader in the mix, you're thinking, well, where can I go from here?
Yeah.
And only the leaders know where those gaps are. And so I think it's important for senior leaders to be able to show, hey, we're thinking about this. We're thinking about moving this way. We're thinking about a gap in what we offer here, to invite some conversation and to invite those emerging leaders up into those spaces, which may actually solve, a whole bunch of the organization's problems.
Yeah, it's good.
So I think inviting up would be one of those things. Connected to that, I think, is the knowledge of trends and where things are going in any given space.
Yeah.
So, they said about that great ice hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, he didn't play where the puck was. He always knew where the puck was going. And I think, and I like that as senior leaders, because we can sometimes get stuck in, well, this is how we've done it. This is my paradigm. This is the way that I know things work. Yeah. And a lot of times the answers to where the problems are going to be is held by the emerging leaders, not by the senior leader who's kind of managing everything and holding it. So being able to just think a bit more broadly, where's the puck going to be?
Do you think part of that is making sure that we give emerging leaders a voice?
Yeah. I think absolutely right. Yeah. So I think in both of those points that I just mentioned, it involves giving emerging leaders a voice. So giving them a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Bringing them in, even, if you don't want to bring them in as a fully fledged, member or whatever, call it whatever you want, but have somebody in there who's in there as a developmental kind of role, because they're going to add so much value. Mm-hmm. And those fresh eyes, you walk down the street where you live, you walk down the street 20 times and you don't see anything because you've been there so often.
Yeah.
Whereas someone who walks down the street for the first time says, oh, did you notice that? That tree with the bird's nest in it? Or did you notice that house with the green roof? No, I didn't notice any of that stuff because you're so familiar.
Yeah.
Whereas the fresh eyes really does help.
So I think, alongside that, giving them a voice is also giving them permission.
Yeah, good.
Because I think, if we can give them a voice, we can give them a seat, but unless we actually give them permission to contribute or permission to have a go and get it wrong or permission to attempt and try, permission to disagree, I think then we sometimes can lose what the gold that an emerging leader can bring to that space.
That's huge. But I think a voice and permission to fail is huge, because you think good. For each of us, the one thing that's going to stop us from trying is, what if I get it wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
What if it doesn't work?
Yeah.
What have I lost? So I think there's a way of being able to do that with emerging leaders where, you shoot bullets before you shoot cannons, you start small and have a kind of beta test a couple of things before you then go, right, we're going to bet the family farm on this project.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What was the third thing? I think I interrupted you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, um, Oh, I can't remember where we were up to. We were talking about helping them see the gaps and inviting in awareness of the trends. And yeah, that was the third one. The third one was creating space for failure.
Yeah, right.
And for failure being something that's like, hey, you're not going to lose your job or you're not going to lose your role, because actually failing actually helps us get to where we need to go. And we learn so much from it.
So kind of wrapping up, if you had a room full of young emerging leaders, what would be the Matt Destry words of advice and wisdom that you'd love to share?
Yeah, great. I would firstly say, be okay with taking responsibility for your part to play in a larger story that you might not understand just yet.
Yeah.
So step into something without having to need to know all the answers, without knowing the entire story, because you're not going to. The only way you can learn is by doing. And so step into that.
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, you will more and more over time find your unique shape, your unique gifts, and your unique contribution, not just to the organization or the community, but to the world that you're a part
of.
Cool. I think that's what I would say.
I think it's interesting looking at and working alongside young people. For me, over the last few years, one of the things I've noticed is young people and emerging leaders, young leaders, they have this drive to be part of something that is contributing to the world, yeah. Whereas I think in my generation, it was, just get a good job, get paid well, climb the corporate ladder. But I feel that there's this shift over the last number of years where young people are really looking to align themselves with an organization that's doing something beyond the job. And that in every kind of area, I do some work with a really great law firm, and it's the same. Young lawyers, they want to join this firm not just because they can do law, but because this firm is contributing to the world in a positive way.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I mean, it's a different question, but curious, what's your perspective when you look at the young leaders coming up today?
Yeah.
Or even you, you're still a young leader.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say exactly that. We say that at Discovery Church, the faith community we're part of and leading now, we call it the bigger story.
Yeah.
We talk about how we're not created or born to be the hero of our own story, but we find the most fulfillment and the most fun, really, when we're part of a story that's bigger than us.
Yeah.
When we're not the hero, when we're happy to play a supporting actor or be a supporting role in something bigger of where somebody else is the hero.
Yeah.
And so that's really important for us. And I think that's so true. It rings true with emerging leaders today, where we've seen, I think, some of the emptiness of just getting ahead, quote unquote, getting ahead or keeping up with the Joneses or racing with the person who's next to me.
Yeah.
I want to contribute to something larger and have an impact and maybe create a legacy that is more than ones and zeros.
Yeah.
And so, so I would wholeheartedly agree with you.
Yeah, it's good.
What you're saying. Yeah.
Well, Matty, heaps appreciate the conversation. I mean, I kind of feel we could probably talk all day. You've brought some great insights and reflections that I think, people need to hear and listen to, whether they're an emerging leader or, an established leader. I think there's some great learnings, some great reflections, and some great wisdom that we've kind of wrestled and talked about together today. So thanks heaps appreciate you and your story and for contributing to us today.
Brett, well, thank you. I appreciate firstly your investment in me as a leader over all of those years in so many ways. You are such a strong and powerful influence in my own life and voice in my life, so I appreciate that. And really appreciate the invitation to be part of this conversation today. So thank you.
Good on you, mate. You take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. See ya.